freedom. And this morning, as we come to the end of a glorious session of teaching about the gospel-shaped life, the mission of God as a missional church, what that really means to us, we get a moment to stop and to reflect on that and to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. I was looking in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter... Oh, I've actually got slides. Do you know that? I don't know if I can even find that slide. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, it says this. Jesus calling his disciples. He went up on the mountain, called to him those whom he desired. Those words jump out at me again. Those who he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 and named them apostles. And then I put red letters in my lines here in my notes so that they might be with him and that he might send them out. Just the heart of God towards you and me this morning. Maybe you're sitting in church this morning, you've been in 100 services, you've heard the gospel preached, you've committed yourself to him, you've been around, you call yourself a Christian. I want to say to you this thing that's really important to just remember. He called you to himself. He desired that you would be close to him today. And as he's called you and he desires you to be close, he says this thing, so that they might be with him. And I found it really interesting. You know, Jesus, when he was physically on earth, he had to be in one place at one time. Because he was all of God in a human body. That's the gospel. That's what we believe. That Jesus came, the Father sent the Son, born of a virgin, in a human body, all of the fullness of Christ, all the fullness of the Father manifest in Jesus, so that he might be with us. And then he came to his disciples and he called them to himself. Why? Because he wanted them with him. This morning, as you sit here, the echo through the gospel to your own heart is he wants you, he desires you to be with him. And he wants you to be with him so that he can show you the Father, so that he can actually let you know the height, breadth, depth, and width of the love of God, that you might be filled to all the fullness of Christ so that he might send you. He might send you out. Now that's my sermon done. Now I'm just going to go over it a couple of times. Again and again and again. Because as a missional church, as a church that belongs to Jesus, what the most important thing about us is that Jesus lives in us. And that what he does in us is exactly what he does in every other believer. And that is that he manifests the Father to us and the love of God overflows through us. And we are then obedient to the Father's desires and will and we move with him. And so we have this great joy this morning of actually being together with him in this place. And then with each other who are called into fellowship because of what the Father has done. We're a church. That's a very special word. We are a family, an ecclesia. Church, ecclesia, that's the original Greek word, means the called out ones. We are the ones gathered by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel that's been proclaimed. And we sit in this room this morning able to say, I belong to him and he belongs to me. You've been sealed with the mark of the Holy Spirit because you have been born again by the Spirit of God. That's if you've believed. If you put your faith in him. And I don't say the if in order to exclude you. And if you're not sure about that this morning you can be sure. Because you're called to come to Jesus. You are called to put your faith and trust in him and to receive from him all the blessings that God has prepared in advance for you. We are a family, which means that when we come together, we belong. We belong to God. So we talk about this a lot, and we, as a missional church, I really want to encourage you. So World Cup soccer is going to be over soon. Anyway, I'll get sidetracked, just stop. This series on missional church has been really important for us because, sorry, I'm just going to indulge myself a bit. Is that okay? Over probably 15 years of working through stuff together as a leadership team, we've had to ask a question over and over and over again. What do we believe together? What is the most important thing that God is saying through His Word to us? What do we need to actually speak to other people? Lord, we want to know Your way. We want to walk in the fullness of Your truth. And so He's spoken so many things to us that have actually become distilled in our thinking as this is what it means to be a church that actually lives the way Jesus wants us to live. Now, I'm sure that some of it's aspirational. Some of it we would like it to be better than it is. But I tell you what, we are walking in some of it. We're in the beginnings of this, and it's glorious to think what God would be doing with us. So I want to commend you to go back to our church app if you haven't got it. It's not hard to get. At the end of the service, speak to Dave Grokey and, I don't know, Hayden, others who know. Ask me, I'll tell you who knows because I'm not good at this. Get your church app up and operating. In your church app, there's a little part of this app on your phone where you can go to resources. You can go down to, you can see the sermon series of what have been preached. You could go to every sermon preached in the missional church. And I'd invite you to actually over the next little while, start going through what has been taught and ask yourself a question. Lord, do I believe this? Ask yourself the question in the presence of God. Do I believe this? Test it. Be like the Bereans in the book of Acts, who they heard the word and they went to the scriptures and they dug it out and they said, is this really true? So make it sure for yourself. Is this really true? I have every confidence that you'll dig in it and you will get excited and revelation will grow in your heart. Yes, this is true. This is the kind of church that we are. This is the kind of people that God wants us to be. And so we start to go through this. We need to build these foundations strong and deep and wide. It's not good enough to just say, well, the leaders know what they believe. And the deacons know what they believe. And so the youth leaders know what they believe. We together need to believe these things together so that we can act in unison. And actually, I didn't do it. I resisted so strongly, but I can't stop saying it. I was going to put a video clip up here of the soccer. Now, no one likes soccer in this room. And right now, I think Norway and England are playing a match. Actually, some people know the score, don't tell me. But I'm not really a big soccer fan anymore. But I saw something about the Norwegian spectators. Did anyone see this about row? Here you've got 20,000 Vikings of all different shapes and sizes, all in red jumpers, sitting in a soccer stadium with weird horns on their head, and they are supporting their team. And one man in the front has a drum, and he beats the drum when he goes, bang, bang, and they all go, row, pretending to row their boat. Row, boom, boom, row. 20,000 Vikings, row, row, row. In unison, it gets faster and louder. And the team on the field, oh, yes, we can do this. And I feel like there's something in what we're doing together. We're believing together. We have faith together. We're trusting God together. And He's saying, you as a church together are going to row the boat ashore. You are going to advance the kingdom of God through our unison, through our unity, through our maturity, through our love, through our faith in God, through our following the lead that Jesus gives us, we are going to advance the kingdom of God. So we are connected together as family. So I don't want to start teaching, but if I beat the drum, you'll say, row. Maybe He will change it. What about for us? Go! Huh? Go! What are we going to do? We'll go. Where are we going to go? Wherever He sends us. What does that look like? Well, we'll get to that. We're connected. We're family. We belong to Him. And because of that, we belong to each other. And you might be sitting in the room. Maybe you're visiting for the first time. Welcome. Great to have you. Maybe you're online and you've never been to our building. But if you connected to Jesus, you belong to us too. Because we're family. Because we connect to each other. Maybe you're new in the church. Maybe you've only been here a little while. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of what we're doing. But we want to tell you right up front, it's our heart and expectation. In fact, it's Jesus' heart and expectation that we together would go for Him, would serve Him, would love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then actively participate in what He's doing. We are the body of Christ, which means we connected in a very unique way. Not all hands, not all feet, not all as a body together, all with a unique position, all with something to contribute. We're actually the bride of Christ, which means we've been being called into the most intimate, personal, deep relationship with Jesus. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. Nothing more beautiful than the intimacy of one that loves another with such purity and devotion. That's what we call to. Thank you for the worship this morning. I don't know if you felt that. I felt, Lord, I'm right here with you and you right here with me. Thank you, Lord. You're alive. You're alive. I'm alive in you. Thank you. Intimacy of worship. The beginnings of that. That's what we are. The bride of Christ. And then we are the army of God. We are those who together get up and do what He tells us to do. And we'll unpack more and more of that. So here we are. Sorry, I'm not getting to the slides. They'll be incidental. Don't worry, Ashley, we'll get there or not. One of the weeks we spoke about pretty early in our series was about being gospel genuine. To be gospel genuine for us means that we're Christ-centered, that we're Spirit-empowered, and that we're gospel-advancing. And we unpacked that at length, and we will continue to unpack that, and we're trusting by the power of God to actually live that in every part of what we do. Every part of how we live our lives in Adelaide today is to be Christ-centered. In other words, having Jesus as the very central focus of what we do, what we value, what we love, and where we go and how we do it. That as we're looking to Jesus, the great author and finisher of our faith, we then lean into the fact that we are Spirit-empowered, that we're born again by the Spirit of God. He has sealed us with His presence. And not only that, He has come to lead us, empower us, and guide us to do every single thing that He's called us to do. So it's not us doing it, it's Him, Spirit empowered. And then we are looking for opportunities to advance the gospel in every opportunity that He gives to us. Of course, this actually just follows in what He's already doing. You see, I love this when Jesus speaks in Luke 19:10. I remember as a Sunday school kid learning, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Because Jesus is today alive and seeking to save that which is lost. And that's a glorious, wonderful promise that we stand on this morning. Because we are the ones that got found. I was lost, and I got found. And so did you, if you believe in Jesus. This morning, you put your faith in Him. And not only were you found, but the power of God that began to work in you immediately changed your status. You were justified as if you'd never sinned, clothed in a righteousness not of your own, but of His. And then the Holy Spirit came and said, "And right, and now we're starting this work. We are going to together work out salvation in your life. Transformation has begun." And the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit comes to start to make all of Jesus plain in us and through us, and everything that's not will drop out of us. It's the displacing power of a new affection, as Chalmers said in a long lost sermon. The power and the love of God comes into us by the Holy Spirit and displaces out of us everything that is not Jesus. And so we have the joy of saying, right, now, Lord, what do you want from me? We're on the mission of God together, which means we're aligned with the gospel. We believe the same things together. We've come into faith and we've been assigned. We're connected into a family. We've got our place. We know where we belong. And now we're beginning to advance. And we're actually with God in His business of mission. One of the a nice little quote. I actually think I might even have put that up. Let's try this one. Is that up? There you go. Mission originates in the triune God. Believers are invited into God's own mission rather than creating one themselves. Oh my goodness. Please don't create your own mission. You know? And that's it's not the NT writer, it's Christopher J. H. Wright who said that. And I love the way it just gets distilled down. The Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. And the triune God sends the church. How awesome is that? That God comes to us and He says, right, I've started something and I'm asking you to join me in the process. And that's when we start reading through the book of Acts as we've done over the last little while, which, by the way, just as a plug again to go back and listen again to some of the series, see how it refocuses and reshapes how you approach the Bible and what you see as central to the Bible. Really important. And the Holy Spirit will show you what your hobby horse is and what His purpose is. So please get on to that. The Father sends the Son. We know that. We know that Jesus said, the Father will send through me, I will send the Spirit, and He will lead you into all truth. The story of mission is us joining with God in what He's doing. Last week, Ben spoke on out of Acts 16, and when I went back and I was reviewing it, it just struck me how many names are in that story, in that little section of Scripture. Started, of course, with Jesus, but then we read through from 16, Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, Silas, Lydia, the jailer. Imagine that's how you're known for the rest of eternity, the jailer. Yeah? I might be the fat guy with the whatever. Yeah. Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, Silas, Lydia, the jailer, Jason, Dionysius, Damaris. I'm looking, is Damaris in the room? We have got a Damaris somewhere in the room. Aquila, Priscilla, Titus Justus, Crispus, Apollos, a list of names. And if I wanted to go further, we could be here. Why? Because the story of God, of what God is doing through mission is a story of names. It's a story of people engaging with what God is doing and then being found in the will of God, doing the will of God, bringing about the transforming power of God, working through them into the people that receive the word. What are some of the names we have here? You know, Ray and Faye and should I jump lines? Look at the names around the room. Some of our multi-generational church. I visited Ruth this week, 98 years old in next month. And she's as vibrant in her faith as she's ever been. Loving Jesus, concerned about our family, concerned about church. She had a fall and she couldn't be here for a while, but she's asking all the questions. What's going on? What's happening with this person? How's that happening? Why? Because they're connected, faithfully involved, praying, trusting. Why? Because we are a church of names. We've had newborn babies in the last little while. We just, I don't even know if I can announce, but Nani's had her baby. We'll get all the details. Grandpa Phil, good job. We'll get all the details. We'll put a picture up. But we're multi-generational. We've got new babies arriving. We have heaps of young people, lots of teenagers. We have some people from all over the world coming and joining us. This is a wonderful picture because we are on the mission of God together. That is why we're here. One of the things that will distinguish us as a genuine example of a New Testament church, of a missional church, is that we will all carry, despite our accents, age, shape, form, wherever we come from, we will carry the same heart of Jesus in us, implanted in us by the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, empowering us to be as one. So here among us, no separation. Ready, distinctive marks on us. Gospel community, really, growing in our generosity and our hospitality and our creativity. Next Sunday, please make sure you come. Please bring someone who's never been before. Why? Because we're going to do exactly what we've done this morning. And then we're going to go, I'll give you instructions now. We're going to go down the back stairs into the basketball court, and there are going to be piles of sausages and chicken and salads. Oh, it's going to be cold salads. And we're going to come through. We're going to find a place downstairs. We're going to eat our food together. We're going to enjoy fellowship. There's going to be some coffee and tea and slices. And then we're going to say, all right, come on, let's get upstairs. We're going to come back up here. This room will have been transformed. And there's going to be some interesting things happening here, some games, just for a while. But it's all about an opportunity to actually look at one another, see one another, and recognize the goodness of God to each of us together. And to connect with one another so that we together can go to where God wants us to be. Because it's really important that we'll be mature, we'll become steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the love of God. We'll be those that actually are very clear about what we're doing and why we're doing it. We'll be those that know how it is to submit to authority because we are governed well. We are led and we're fed. We'll be those that actually know what the gospel does. And in fact, I encourage you next week, we're starting a new series. It's really important to come and hear. The new series is going to help us to understand the fullness of what the gospel really means to us and what does it do. So that we can actually, now that we're ready to go, we distilled what we know and believe and we can deliver it. We are very clearly about to become a multiplying church. We're about to expand in ways that we never thought that God would do. And that's why we just, I'm going over the announcements again. When Alan and Renelle Frau come along, please, do not miss that weekend. There's a very clear picture, an anointing on Alan's life. One of the things that wherever he goes, things multiply. They get bigger and they get more. And it's going to be really interesting for us because we are those discerning people, aren't we? We're going to sit there and like, is that really so? No, we're going to have hearts full of faith. We're going to be open to ready to receive and the word of God will land in our hearts and bear good fruit. So be ready for these things. Go through what God is doing in our lives. One of the favorite scriptures that my friend Rod and I often used to discuss was the passage in Acts 17 where Paul goes to Athens and he starts to preach to the Athenians. And he doesn't have a basis of preaching from the Old Testament scriptures because they don't have any knowledge of that. So he starts speaking to them in an apologetic way, and that doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means like I'm actually coming to you with your perspective and I'm teaching you from your perspective, things that you know, proclaiming to you. And in Acts 17, I think I've even got that. He talks about the exact time and place where you are. He says this. He says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place so that they should seek God. I actually like the NIV translation. It says that he determined the exact times and places where you should live. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. The exact time and place where you should live now. Pretty tough things for some people. Oh, I really don't like where I am, you know. But you know, God has actually determined the exact times and places where you should live. Now, you've done that so that you could seek God, but what about so that you could actually help someone else who's seeking God? The exact time and place that He puts you next to someone who needs to find God, who needs to have faith blown into life by your love and compassion and care and testimony toward them. And so we're in this moment now where I think God has actually placed us exactly in the time and place where He wants us to live. It's no accident where you live. It's not by chance that you live next door to someone, your neighbor. It's not by chance that you're in a very particular family where you may have some serious challenges there, but it's not by chance. It's certainly not by chance that God has got you in this nation, in this city, for this time. Because He wants you and I right now to be ready to go where He sends us. And I made a little note for myself here, and I don't want to get too personal, but sometimes it gets a bit big on you, doesn't it? You know, I was reflecting this week while I was thinking, and I thought, I wonder how many churches some people go through lots of churches over time, but yeah, Gail and I have been in 6 different churches in our Christian life. In all 6 of them, we've been in some form of leadership. In the very first one, we were like junior youth leaders, and it was just, Lord, thank you that you preserved that little group of people as we learned. And then we went from that church to the next one, to the next one, the next one. Every time, it was not by our choice. It was not by our direction or choosing. God chose and put us where He needed us to be. Do you know that we left our home 23 years ago in Africa to come here? The exact times and places. And it wasn't here. He put us in a town called Casino. Anyone know where that is? Nah. Queensland. No, you see, it's not. It's in New South Wales. Exact times and places. Why? So that we could love on people that God had put in our pathway and proclaim Jesus to them and see them come to faith in Christ. And then He put us here to meet you lovely people, to actually proclaim to some of you who never knew the gospel that are now here because you know the gospel, and to love you and encourage you and to be loved and encouraged by you so that together we can advance the kingdom of God. We need to understand God's mission for us. Now, there's an interesting thought up there. The Father proposes salvation. The Son accomplishes and commissions it. The Holy Spirit empowers and applies it. And believers are privileged participants in God's saving mission. And if God is doing all of those things and He's called you and I and said, come and join me, surely that is really something to embrace. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us. And now He's called us, and we're reaching the main moment, I think, from what I was trying to get to in the beginning was the word that we've tossed around a little bit is deployment. Anyone who's been in the military understands what deployment means. You've probably heard about it in different ways. Deployment has a whole lot of different meanings. But this is a definition. It's the act of moving something or someone into a strategic position or a position of readiness or the condition of being in such a position. It's written by a lawyer, by the sound of it. The state of being assigned for duty away from home, especially for military purposes. Deployment is upon us. We've got all our stuff, we've done our basic training, we know what we kind of believe together, and now we're ready for deployment. Last thing before a soldier is deployed is one moment of retraining. Saying you've got all the basics, now you're about to go into this set of circumstances. Here is some refresher, retraining, getting ready. Have you got your backpack on? Are your boots on? Are they in good condition? Are you ready? Now, go. And we're at that moment, I feel God saying, you're just about ready for deployment. You're ready to be shifted into a strategic position that I've prepared long in advance for you. And you're sitting there saying, me? Who am I? Ah, not me, surely. Maybe Josh or someone else. And you say, no, 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 only you can do this particular part, not on your own, with everyone else, but you've got a part to play. And I'm going to put you in a spot, and I'm going to open your eyes to see things that you've never seen before. And I'm going to put a word in your mouth that will actually burn inside of you, and you'll need to say it. And you'll say something to someone, and that will be life to them. Because I've got a plan. I'm on mission in their life, and I'm going to be working through you. Ready to go. Where do you go? Doesn't really matter. Go far, go near. Go next door. Go down the passage in your house and speak to one of your family members. Or get on an airplane and fly somewhere that God sends you. That's really not up to you and up to me. That's instruction and that's obedience. But it starts with readiness. And so one of the things that kept coming out for us is be single-minded, be pure-hearted, be open-handed. When you listen through the missional series, you'll pick that up. Single-minded, what is that? Lord, we focused on you, Christ alone. We're listening to you. Christ alive in me. I am ready, Lord. I'm alive to you. I'm listening to you. I've read your word. I'm obedient to you. I've dealt with the stuff in my life that needs dealing with as you bring it up. And now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Pure-hearted, Lord, I'm not about myself. I'm about what you want to do. And now, Lord, I'm open-handed. I release myself to you. I release what I have to you. And I'm ready. Ready to go. Ready to stay. Ready to be silent. Ready to speak. Ready to give. And actually sometimes ready to receive. God's about our hearts, first and foremost. He's taken up residence in our hearts. He rules and reigns as Lord of all creation over us. But he never forces himself on you. And he's calling this morning. At the end of this meeting, I'm just going to just put this to you. You've heard all of this. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? I don't know what yes means, but I'm willing to say yes. I trust you. You're trustworthy. I believe what you say. And where you send me, I am ready to go. We've quoted a bunch of scriptures this morning in different places. There's one that is a personal one, very deep to me, is Isaiah chapter 6. And it starts off that little line. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I can remember in worship, many times in the past, we're having this immense sense that the Lord of all creation draws me into his presence. This morning as we've worshipped, the Lord of all creation, the majestic God, righteous, holy, and pure, is calling you into his presence. So the throne of his train filled the temple, righteous, pure, the holy God who calls you in. And then above him stood the seraph. Each had six wings. Two covered his face, his feet. Two he flew. There's an amazing picture of angelic host. And that one called to the other, and they were calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations shook. And the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me. Lord, who are you? Majestic. I'm so small. I'm a man of unclean lips. We get a perspective in the presence of God of who we really are. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As he's asking us this morning, are you willing? He wants to show you his face. Because he's actually speaking. Now the next little verse. One of the seraphim flew over and having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my lips And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Can you hear the echo from Isaiah all the way to today as we stand in the knowledge of the presence of Jesus crucified on a cross for us, atoning for our sins, the coals from that fire touching our lips? Lord, Lord, what have you done? You've taken our guilt away, took it on yourself, laid it on us, laid on us your love and your grace and your mercy, undeserving. And then the echo, verse 8, comes. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, imagine this. I think you're going to hear it this morning as we worship, as we end. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah echoing the triune God, the Father who sent the Son, the Father and the Son who sent the Spirit, who now speaks to the church and says, who will go for us? And I say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Are you willing?